J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Even the referee in football has his own microphone, so he can humiliate the football players when they break a rule. They stop the entire game so the referee can press a button on his belt, activate a giant sound system, point the guy out on television just to embarrass him in front of his mom and everybody else that might be watching. They stop the whole game. Here's the ref. The reason we stopped, the reason we're all hanging around out here in the snow not doing anything right now, is because some people don't seem to know the rules. Isn't that right? Number 71. 71. I hope your mother's watching. Can't blame the referee, though. It's human nature. Let's say you were a football ref in the NFL. An ordinary guy, 65 or 70 years old. You're not making the big millions of bucks like the football players, but you got one thing they don't have, a button right on the belt. And all you gotta do is click it on, and for the first time in your whole boring life, the entire nation is hanging on every word that comes out of your mouth. If I was him, I'd stop the game every 5 minutes just to talk about my own personal problems. Wouldn't you, if you were him, I'd be going, there was no penalty. This has nothing to do with the game, the players, or the National Football League. I need to talk. I can't keep this up anymore. I feel like a fraud out here. Sure, I'm the ref, but who am I to judge these players? I mean, look at some of the choices I've made in my own life, for God's sake. 62 years old and I'm a freaking referee. I gotta lie down. I gotta tell you something. I'll be honest, lots of times when I'm out here, I'm not even thinking about football. My wife's getting fat as a mobile home. I love my kids, but if I had to do it again, I'd wear a condom. Just all goes by so fast in life, doesn't it? One minute you're in high school, the next minute you're watching your prostate like a hawk. Anybody who says these are the golden years can kiss my wrinkled butt, Buster. I got hair growing out of my ears, for God's sake. I got cataracts the size of ashtrays. I gotta pee every 5 minutes. I walk in a room and I go, what the hell did I come in this room for anyway? Got that goddamn arthritis in my shoulder. I wake up in the morning, takes me a half an hour just to find my eyeglasses, just so I can look for my teeth to tell my wife to find my hair. I don't know, maybe I'm just blowing smoke. You know what's really bothering me? I just kind of feel like I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I mean it. Did you ever dress up in your wife's panties when nobody's home? Boy, you give me a pair of thong panties and some perfume, I am one happy ref. The hell with football. Well, thanks for listening. I better get back to the game now. First down. All right, there you go. Thanks.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, January 23rd, 2023. 23 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You were at jcontheline.com. By the way, I was driving past the Phillies complex. It's right on one of the main thoroughfares, right down the street from where I am. And so when I, you know, when I'm driving around, just like going to Costco or something, I go right past that complex. And you can see everything that's going on the practice fields from up on the highway. So I was looking down there, and there were three different games going on. You know, they have a lot of the A and AA and AAA guys out there already. And so it's really exciting to see those fields populated with actual human bodies. So let's do it. The Schnook Panic Aisle is officially open. Well, here's Kent. Let's see what he's saying here.
We may have some school closings on Wednesday. I think we probably will. Yeah. So you need to be prepared for that.
There's a patch of 4 to 8 inches just to the southwest of St. Louis that they're showing. A big swath of 4 to 8 inches in the city of St. Louis. Oh, you know. Well, actually, let's look at this. This is courtesy of my friend, Chef Burke. Chef Burke has been slinging hash in St. Louis for years and years and years. And he was the one, by the way, who hid the engagement ring when I got engaged to Triple C. We did it at his restaurant, and I went out about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, gave him the ring, and told him to bury it in the creme brulee, which he did, but he was scared shitless all day because he thought he was going to lose the ring. Oh, my God, he was sweating bullets. Anyhow, but he's a big weather geek, so here we go. So Dave Murray is saying 4+. Glenn Zimmerman has not made the call yet. Lynn Truong, the Asian girl with the big boobs on Fox 2, is saying 4 to 6. And by the way, if you're like, JC, that's terrible. Why are you saying that? There's a reason I do that, because when she first showed up, you know, here's this tiny little Asian chick, and she has these monstrous boobs. And I'm like, those got to be fake. Come on. Well, it's a small world. There's a guy in St. Louis who I know, who I've known for a long time, who had a friend somewhere in the Pacific Northwest who dated her before she got to St. Louis. So this was somewhere like in Portland or something like that. And he's like, oh, no, tell JC he's wrong. They're definitely real. And I have first hand and first face and first motorboat knowledge of the of the situation. So my apologies to Lynn Truong. She's saying 4 to 6. Channel 4, Ken Earhart, is saying 4 to 6, but there's that swath of 4 to 8 that is just to the southwest of metropolitan St. Louis. Channel 5 is going with 2 to 4. Anthony Slaughter at Channel 5 saying 4 to 7, and the Weather Channel is saying 3 to 6. So, I don't know what you want to do with that other than to be aware of the fact that starting tomorrow night, and especially Wednesday, it's going to snow. And I should also point out, Dave Murray was the first guy to call all of this, because he started talking about this, oh my God, I think it was like Thursday, and said, you know, watch this thing, it's coming in, and it's too early to put totals, but I will say that shovels and plows will be involved. So he was the first guy to call it, as always, Dave nailing this thing. It might as well snow because life is over now that the Buffalo Bills have been eliminated. But thank God the Dallas Cowboys were eliminated. I would not have been able to go on in a day that would have produced the Buffalo Bills being eliminated and the Dallas Cowboys moving forward. So next Sunday, you got the NFL Conference Championship games. They are set. Philadelphia plays San Francisco. The Bengals take on Kansas City. And even with Patrick Mahomes, can't say that. His mother gets mad when people call him Pat. Patrick Mahomes, even with him and as good as the Chiefs look, there are a lot of people who are saying Cincinnati is going to win that game. In fact, the Chiefs are only 1-point favorites in that game. A single point. And by the way, the Eagles are only 2.5-point favorites over the 49ers. So, you know, at least in theory, those should be good games, but we saw what happened with the Giants. So the game of the 49ers-Eagles game is at 2 o'clock St. Louis time on Sunday, and then the Chiefs and the Bengals go at 5:30. The nice thing about that is if you're, you know, like talking about the guys here, although it's not fair because I know a lot of women who are bigger football fans than their husbands, but the nice thing about it is that these games don't start until mid-afternoon. So in theory, you know, you can still do a lot. You can still not have the entire day blown being a slave to the TV watching football. Well, like I said, pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida in 23 days, and we still don't have a play-by-play guy for the St. Louis Cardinals. And for a franchise that has legendary fans who are allegedly the most knowledgeable in baseball, that's what they always say about St. Louis fans, there sure are some dumb people out there making comments on anti-social media. First of all, does everybody understand that the job that is open is the play-by-play job? And somebody who's never done play-by-play before can't get the job, and that doing play-by-play is much, much different than being up there in the booth, because you were an ex-player and you're adding perspective. You're the analyst, you're the commentator, you're the color commentator, and that job is completely different than the play-by-play job. People are throwing out names of former players who have never done play-by-play. I'm like, how stupid are you?
I think Jim Edmonds should do it.
Right, right. A guy who's never done play-by-play in his life. All right. The search has apparently come down to two finalists. At least that is what they're telling us. I don't tend to believe a lot of this stuff, but at least this is what they're saying. This is what's being said. And one of the two finalists they're telling us is Aaron Goldsmith, who used to do Gateway Grizzlies games. He's a young guy. He started out being a Kansas City Royals fan, because his family moved there. Then he became a Cardinals fan after he moved over here. He went to Principia College. All right, there you go. He went to Principia. Then he went to the Broadcast Center, and then he started doing the Gateway Grizzlies games. Then they sent him to Portland, and then he was with the Portland Sea Dogs. Then play-by-play for the Frisco Rough Riders. I've heard some of his play-by-play, and it comes off to me as a little hokey. Really, really hokey. However, let me tell you this. You know who Matt Vasgersian is? Matt Vasgersian is the MLB Network, and he did the games in Milwaukee for a couple of years. And you might remember this, because we used to play this on the old K-Hits morning show, because when somebody would hit a home run, he would get really excited and just like shout, here's a swing and a long drive right field. How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? And we thought it was funny, and at the same time, it's like, can you imagine a Cardinal broadcaster doing it? Imagine Jack Buck. Can you imagine even Mike Shannon doing something like that? And so I asked him about it, and he's like, look, and again, you got to remember, this was like 15 years ago when the Milwaukee Brewers franchise sucked and the place was empty and they were still in the old County Stadium, I think, at that time. But it's not like the Brewers of today. And so, you know, he said, you know, at that time, it's like, you know, we don't have the situation you guys have in St. Louis where, you know, people just cram into the place. We got to sell tickets. We got to create excitement. We have to actually do some borderline minor league stuff around here just to get people interested and get some attention. And so when I do my play-by-play, yeah, it's a little crazy, but we're not in St. Louis, and you know, sometimes you have to manufacture excitement. So that's how I sort of approached this with this Aaron Goldsmith kid. It's entirely possible that, you know, what he's doing in minor league ball is a similar or possibly even identical situation. Now, they won't tell us who the other finalist is. And as I said, I'm not even 100% sure. I got a low confidence level on this story. Like I said, I don't necessarily believe any of this. I'm just telling you what's being said. All I know is we're 23 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting, and it would be nice if somebody was in the booth telling us what the hell was going on. And what does that mean? That means that they're going to tell us who it is here. It's got to be any day now. I'm telling you this, Jeremy Renner is lucky to be alive. He is lucky to be alive. There's something like an 18,000-pound snow grooming machine that rolled over the top of him. And again, you could probably argue the fact that the heavy snow, and I guess there were a couple of feet of snow, possibly contributed to saving his life, because it acted as a cushion. So when this thing went over him, he got pushed down into the snow rather than into the ground, which would have probably killed him instantly. Anyhow, he shared a photo of himself receiving medical attention on his legs, thanked everyone for their well wishes. He has 30 broken bones. Buzz Aldrin, I guess if you were the second man to walk on the moon, which he was, you would have sort of an inferiority complex, and maybe that's the problem with Buzz Aldrin, because we stopped having him in. You know, he would be in St. Louis periodically for things, and we would just say, no, thank you. We've been there. We've done that. Because we had him in, and he was just an old coot. He was just sort of crabby and just a snot to everybody. We're like, fine, we'll pass. He celebrated his 93rd birthday over the weekend by getting married This is his fourth marriage. I rest my case, okay? You're in Karen Foss territory now. The chick is 63, and she's the vice president of his company, Buzz Aldrin Ventures. Pamela Anderson says, she's got an upcoming memoir coming out here, and she said that Tim Allen, on the set of Home Improvement, where she used to work, she used to be the, I don't know what she used to be, I didn't watch the show. Was she the original chick who was the tool time girl or something before the brunette got the job? Maybe that's it. Anyhow, she said that on the set of Home Improvement, when nobody was looking, that Tim Allen pulled his dick out and flashed her. Now, he says he would never do that, and that it's a lie. It's in her book. Maybe she's just confused because Tim Allen is not his name. His name is Timothy Dick. That's his legal name. And maybe that's the problem, huh? Lisa Marie Presley's funeral was held at Graceland yesterday. Billy Corgan, Axl Rose, Alanis Morissette performed. Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York, read a poem. Marshall Tucker died last week, and you would think that that would be devastating to the members of the Marshall Tucker Band, but you would be wrong. Marshall Tucker was never even in the Marshall Tucker Band. He was a blind pianist, and he was 99 when he passed away. He used to tune pianos in a warehouse in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Later, after he left the premises and handed in his key, the band started rehearsing there, and they found an old keychain with Marshall Tucker's name on it, and since they needed a name for the band, they just took it. Doug Gray, who we had on the air a couple of years ago, and he's the singer in the band, the only member left from the original band, and he said they didn't even know Marshall Tucker was a person. They thought it might be a company name. Late night tonight, you got Jimmy Fallon with Aaron Judge. Jimmy Kimmel's got David Duchovny at Why Don't You Love Me. Nathan Lane on with Colbert. James Corden has Kate Walsh. And Hilary Duff shows up on Seth Meyers. And she's a little more mature now. She's not the innocent little thing that used to do appearances like on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno when she was only like 15 or 16 years old, which gave us this particular gem, which I've played on the show many, many times, and which I still love.
Now, what kind of cars do you like? Do you like it? See, you seem like the little Honda type.
Basically, anything that has four wheels, yeah. But I'm obsessed with Hummers.
Oh, the big Humvee?
For sure. Could you imagine me? I'm like 5'1".
Can you imagine her surprise backstage after that appearance when her handlers told her? I will never, ever stop loving that. Avatar, The Way of Water, crossed the 2 billion mark, making James Cameron the only director with 3 movies to make that much. Aubrey Plaza, did you see her on Saturday Night Live? Damn, you know, when she first started popping up on talk shows, because I didn't watch Parks and Recreation, so that was really the first time I saw her, was when she would pop up on Conan or something like that. I'm like, this chick is a riot. And also, oddly sexy, you know, something about her. And the more I'd see her, the more I liked her. And again, hot in just sort of an odd, awkward way, almost like in the nerdy girl. Well, then you see her on White Lotus and a lot of very, very tight shots without a lot of makeup. And it's like, maybe not. But now I don't even care because she was so good. She is really, really good. She's a good comedic actress. And she did a thing with Amy Poehler on Weekend Update. And her monologue was good. And her acting was, she got a real good sense of comedic timing. And I am really, really impressed. That was a real good show over the weekend. Idiots who have apparently never seen the cover of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon are upset that there's a rainbow in the logo for the album's 50th anniversary. Stupid people. Birthdays today, Tiffany Amber, don't call me Amber. Tiffany Thiessen, she don't like the Amber anymore for some reason, from Saved by the Bell, 49. Her head is expanding at like Mach speed. Her head is like too big for her body. 49 years old. Mariska Hargitay is 59. Robin Zander from Cheap Trick, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 70 today. And Sully, Chesley Sullenberger, 154 lives saved with the emergency landing on the Hudson River back in 2009. He's 72 today. It was 45 years ago today, 1978. Terry Capp, lead singer and a tremendous guitarist for Chicago, tried to prove that his pistol wasn't loaded by pointing it at his head and pulling the trigger. It was loaded, and that was the end for him. Dumb, stupid stuff. 37 years ago today, 1986, Chuck Berry, James Brown, Ray Charles, Sam Cooke, Fats Domino, the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis, Little Richard, Jimmy Rogers, Sam Phillips, among the first class to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The IRS started auctioning off Willie Nelson's property to satisfy the back taxes he owed, totaled over $16 million. That was 32 years ago today in 1991. 18 years ago today, people use the term legend all the time, but Johnny Carson truly was, and he passed away on this date in 2005, and Larry King died on this date 2 years ago. He was 87. A couple of things from my personal calendars. Back in 1996, I was in Los Angeles doing interviews for a movie called Beautiful Girls. Timothy Hutton was in this. Natalie Portman, boy, she was only like 16 years old when I did this interview. And you could tell even then that this kid, first of all, she was just beautiful. And you could tell she was going on to great things and that she was so smart, but so pretty and so tiny. Gosh, is she little. So then they send me into the room to interview Uma Thurman, who I should say was very pretty and very, very nice. I almost feel bad saying this because I've liked her in pretty much everything. And she was very nice to me. Very, very extremely friendly and warm and hospitable and all that sort of stuff. But she had feet that were practically sticking out into the hallway. I was just sitting there, and she had her legs crossed, and she was just sitting there, and this giant, she just still looked like the boxes were on the shoes. Her feet, to me, looked like skis. And like I said, I feel bad because she was so nice. But man, the feet, God. It was on this date in 2011. I took one of the greatest vacations ever. I took my two daughters, who at the time were, oh God, I have to think about it, maybe 9 and 12, like somewhere in there. We went to the Grand Canyon and then to Sedona. And I would highly recommend you make that trip someday because it is truly inspiring. And then after that part of the trip, then we came back down and spent the remainder of the week at a resort in Phoenix where the temperature was about 90 degrees. It was one of the best, probably the best vacation I've ever been on. And now we get into a ticklish subject because it was on this date in 1989. Now, you have to understand something here. Remember Doug Gilmour, star player for the St. Louis Blues? And everybody remembers the story. There was like a, I don't know, 13-year-old babysitter involved and a big scandal, and a lot of the most scandalous parts of the story were never even made public. I talked to Mike Bush when this, oh my gosh, look at Amelia Muscavero or whatever her name is on Fox 2. She's wearing knee-high boots. Look at that. That woman is almost too good looking. You know, Channel 2 could be looking at their next anchor person for like the next 35 years there. And I was told yesterday, by the way, just remembered this. I was told yesterday that she's a very sweet person. Apparently, there was like some fifth grader who might have been on the autism spectrum, who was a big weather fan. And he was taking a tour of Fox 2 with a group or something and was talking about weather, this, weather, that, whatever. And Amelia apparently was conducting the tour and heard this, and she said, have you ever met a weather person? And the kid was like, you know, no. So she actually called the parents, set up a thing where the kid was able to come back down to the station by himself. And when I say himself, I mean without the rest of the class. And she set up an interview with one of the Fox 2 meteorologists, and the kid was able to go to, you know, inspect the weather set and all that. So she's a real sweetheart on top of it. So this Amelia, she's somebody to watch. But I digress. Anyhow, focus, JC, focus. Doug Gilmour, everybody sort of knows the story. He was run out of town. And like I said, I had talked to Mike Bush about this, and he actually read the letters. There were letters involved that they were using as evidence. And I remember him telling me how graphic they were, and clearly something really regrettable took place. I don't know what Dougie was thinking. Dougie used to do our show all the time, and we were friends. And I knew him, I knew his wife. Doug would come into the studio like once a week, and we would talk hockey, and he was just a great guy. We really enjoyed having him on. And then, of course, the scandal takes place. And I remember, I could tell you the name of the guy, but I don't want to do it because it's just not a good idea. But there was an executive from the St. Louis Blues who said to me once, he said, you know, neither one of them could wait for the other one to leave town. And that became evident when at 3 a.m., I started receiving a series of calls that went on for about a month or so from Robin Gilmore, Doug's alleged wife, who was, I think there's a medical term for this. It's, tanked and horny. And I'm thinking to myself, you're going to get me killed. He's a hockey player. I did not take the bait. I just did not take, she was beautiful too, man. And it would have been fun. We were just talking about Fox 2 back in 1984. You know, it's interesting how things change because this is a story about Randy Naughton from Fox 2. And Randy, she told me, she was always very, very nervous that during the course of her career in television journalism, that this picture was going to surface and that somehow it would ruin her career or adversely affect her career or whatever. But she used to be a Playboy bunny at the Buffalo, New York Playboy Club. And in 1984, on this date, the Buffalo Playboy Club invited me and a bunch of other radio goons to come into the club and just sort of hang around for a little promotional thing. And Randy was a bunny back then. But it shows you how things change because now, if you bring it up, Randy, you're like, oh, God, I used to think that it was going to damage me. And now it's like, it's cool. Look how I used to look. If you think Randy is pretty now, and I think she is, you should have seen her back then. Oh, my God. She was just knocked down, drag out, beautiful. And in fact, there was a double-A baseball team for the Chicago White Sox, farm team for the Sox in Buffalo, and there was a pitcher there, and she met him and ended up marrying him, and they're still married today. So that boy had good taste. At the risk of making this thing sound like letters to Penthouse, this is a very true story. In 2000, on this date, I was still licking my wounds. I had just gotten divorced. And, you know, I was just... See, this is one of the things they don't tell you. When you get a divorce, you don't only lose your wife and your kids. You also lose all of the friends on her side of the fence. And in my particular case, I was... I had all my friends purged by her. And so when the divorce came, I didn't have anything going. I had nobody to hang out with. I'd go to work. I'd come home. I'd sit in an empty condo every night. And it took me a couple of months to remember what I used to do. I'm not exaggerating. This was quite traumatic. And so back then, prior to the internet as we know it today, I used to do a thing called JC Mail. And you could subscribe. And a couple of times a week, I would put out basically a text version of like what I'm doing right now. And a lot of thousands of people signed up for it. And so I would just tell people what was going on. Long story made short, if that's possible at this point, there was a big Rams game coming up. Huge Rams game. This was the game between the Rams and Tampa, the famous Ricky Prohl game. 11-6, the Rams win it and move on in the playoffs. And so I just basically said, look, I'm without a ticket, and I got a little money in the bank still. I got some left over after the divorce. And here's the deal. If you have a spare ticket, you know, because a lot of people would buy blocks of tickets, and a lot of people would say, we'll go to these games, and then somebody would have to go out of town and end up having a spare ticket. And so I said, and I was basically asking somebody to be merciful with me, I said, you got a spare ticket? Here's the deal. I'll buy the first two rounds of drinks for your group, and all you have to do is give me the ticket, and I'll come in with you, and I'll sit with you guys, and we'll just sort of hang out. We all sort of know each other anyhow. You've been listening to the show. You feel like you know me, and so that's half the battle right there. Okay, great. So what happens? I get a response from a woman named Nancy, and she says, we got a group of like six people, and I do have a spare ticket, and so if you would like to go, you can come with us. Now, being a guy, an incurable guy, I think to myself, well, this is nice. She's going to go 350 easily. This is not going to exactly be a supermodel, but I don't care. I don't care. This is not about trying to meet a chick. I just wanted to go to the game, and I want to be part of everything, and I've been feeling very left out, and I just really need to get out of the house. This is what I'm thinking to myself, and so it doesn't really matter what this woman is going to look like. She seems very nice, and she's offering me a ticket, and so that's really all that counts. And so we meet up before the game. And she's a knockout, a 32-year-old divorcee knockout with a 10-year-old son. She's beautiful. And she is a lawyer. And after some initial awkwardness, we got along very, very well. And we even went out after the game celebrating because, oh, my God, you know, you remember what happened with the Ricky Prohl catch. And we win and we're moving on and everybody was just emptying into the streets of St. Louis. I remember we went down to the landing together and she was just very, very nice. And I called her again. We ended up dating on and off for about 2.5 years. And I don't think anything like that has ever happened to me before, where you're basically setting yourself up for a blind date, even though you went into it with no idea that it was even going to be a date. It just sort of turned into one. It's one of the more remarkable things that's ever happened to me, truthfully. It's a very, very nice time. The story sort of ended on a thud, though. It ended on a thud because about 2.5 years later, she's a big sports fan, and there was the Cardinals playoffs, and she called me up and she said, do you happen to have a ticket, you know, extra ticket? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit in the press box tomorrow night. So, yeah, my tickets are available, in fact. Well, how much do you want for them? Oh, Nancy, I wouldn't charge you for them. Yeah, you can have them. Sure, fine. She took some guy to that game with my tickets, and she is still married to him today. But I'm happy for her. I really am. I'm happy for it. It doesn't sound like the end of a very happy story, but it's okay. It's cool. And I have to admit, this headline did catch my attention today. The headline, a guy's fish committed credit card fraud while playing his Nintendo Switch. One more time. A guy's fish committed credit card fraud while playing his Nintendo Switch. Details. Some guy rigged his Nintendo Switch with motion tracking software so his pet fish could play video games. And while he wasn't watching, they committed credit card fraud. The game crashed, but while his computer was still running, they stole $4 from him, bought a new avatar, and changed his username to a bunch of gibberish. The fish! I'm telling you, you just can't trust anybody anymore. And the CEO of Netflix suddenly has stepped down. No reason was given, but I'll bet you he got busted sharing his password. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, January 23rd, 2023 is in the can. 23 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. The Schnucks Panic Aisle is open. This all starts late tomorrow night and especially on Wednesday. Obviously, I'll have an update tomorrow. And I'll talk to Dave again tonight or tomorrow morning and find out the absolute latest, but get the shovel ready. I always love those news stories where they send the reporters out to, I almost said Central Hardware. Wow, where did that come from? They send them out to Lowe's or Home Depot, and they show how there's a run on snow shovels, and I always want to shout at the TV, what did you do with the shovel you had last year? It's not like you throw them out in the spring. Stuff like that that keeps me awake at night. We are here every weekday morning right about this time at jconline.com. You may email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day hoarding bread and milk. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.